that's a good tie-in to The Art of War, because I really liked how he's starting the podcast with something I fundamentally believe, and I keep repeating to people, and I think like people think I'm dumber because I say this. Like, I don't pay attention to current events, and I'd rather, instead of paying attention to current events, I'd rather read old books. Because I do believe, like, me and you have both read Nassim Taleb's work, and I think he's like, how would you, somebody asked him, like, how would you explain the concept of anti-fragility to a five-year-old? And he said, time is smarter than you. And I think we need to apply that to other domains, in the sense that, like, if a book has survived long mm-hmm. enough, like The Art of War, and in this case, what did Jocko say? It's 2,500 years old.
500 BC, like...
Yeah, like that tells you it has value. And what I loved at the beginning, he talks about, listen, and it just occurred to me and you love Dan Carlin, mm-hmm. right? It's hardcore history. It's a history podcast, but at what is every single story? It's a story about war between people. And Jocko made that good point. He's like, history revolves around war. In many ways, history is war. War is a human endeavor. It's the worst of human endeavors, but a human endeavor nonetheless. And because of this, it reflects human nature. And that's why we can learn so much from the history of war. I thought, like, that's one of the best ways he's ever opened a podcast
before. It was grabbing. That was one I was just like, hold on, rewind. And I don't usually rewind introductions to hear it again. Usually the finer points in the podcast, but that, like, that just sets the table for this intellectual meal that we're about to have with Sun Tzu, you know? Like, it's like, it just blows my mind, first of all, that it's this old. And then, you know, I get a little weird when I'm like reading something like this, or if I'm listening to something like this. I kind of like want to put myself like in the times of the source. Like, I'm thinking to myself, in 500 BC China, and I know nothing about it, like how they fought, like whether they're just hitting each other with bamboo sticks or they're shooting arrows. I don't know what they're doing. And I wanted to kind of like picture how war was in China before. And I kept thinking of like World War One and stuff, like that's as far back as I can conceive. Like,
it's definitely not,
it's
like
definitely
that.
Definitely not, like,
you know, it is basically close.
Well, they
combat.
Definitely had spears, because it was referenced in the book of The Art of Sun Tzu.
You know what's weird, man? I swear I thought I read Art of War. I went through all my books, couldn't find it. Then I went through all my Kindle. Like, I was like, okay, I probably read the Kindle version. No. I have this. I downloaded the sample like years ago.
But never got through it.
I never bought the book, which is, I swear I remember reading it. And you know what it is? It's just one of those books that Jocko talked about. Like, it's just referenced so many times and so many people build upon it that I had the illusion that I actually read it because I've heard so much.
I put it in the same category as like The Prince. It's kind of just one of those books that is just regurgitated so many times. You're like, yeah, I understand it. I get it. Like, why, like, what's going to gravitate you to open it?
Did you see that Jocko just did a podcast?
Yeah,
on Prince?
And I'm actually really excited. We'll get to it in 2021, I guess. Like,
well, no, we, like, I've started to listen to some of the new ones because I was like, this. Like, I also, it's really cool to see the progression of a podcast.
Well, that's
right?
What we're doing. Yeah, if you go ahead. You
yeah,
you
no,
jump
but
the
I also
arc.
Like don't want to miss. I don't want to, well, because we're, what is that, 100, that's 3 years in the future. Like, I can't wait 3 years like to listen to that. So, anyways, I just want to go through some of, like, I love the aphorisms that Jocko pulled out, where he's like, these strategies that lead to victory must not be divulged beforehand.
No.
So I love that Sun Tzu violated his own principle, because he wrote it in a book that we can learn from. Like, these are fundamentally great strategies that we can learn from that he should have kept to himself, based on, you know, the strategies that lead to victory must not be divulged
beforehand. Yeah, but I'm sure he wrote it later in life, where he had a legacy he was kind of thinking of, possibly. I really don't know much about Sun Tzu. And is there anything older in the military scripture that goes older than this? Is this the OG?
According to Jocko, he said in the podcast that the reason he's reading this book, he's like, let's take a look at the oldest book about the principles of war.
So it is the old. Okay.
So, well, it's he might have found, since he recorded the podcast, older books. I'm not sure. It's certainly the one that I don't know of any other book on war that's older than this. So that doesn't obviously mean it is the oldest book, because, you know, written written books have been around for 5 to 7,000 years at least, somewhere in there. So, and if war's been going on for a long time, like it's been going on every day since humans have existed, I would guess that somebody else has written something down about it, you know? Yeah. I just love some of the writing that Sun Tzu had. He's talking about indirect tactics, like and he goes, indirect tactics are inexhaustible as heaven and earth, unending as the flow of rivers and streams. They're like the sun and moon. They end, but to begin anew. They're like the four seasons. They pass, but to return once more.
Mm. That was very beautiful.
I've never ever said anything in my life that beautiful. Like, my vocabulary is much more harsh and like brutish compared to that. This guy has like this flowing way to describe his ideas.
Well, you have a good way of explaining things and illuminating things. So don't sell yourself short. You're just not a poet. So.
Well, I'm working on is going to be here 2,500 years.
That's
in the
not
future.
True. These that's podcasts okay. Like will outlast the pyramids.
They definitely won't. They definitely won't.
Probably, yeah.
They definitely won't. They're not Lindy. Not. They're not Lindy yet. If people are listening to podcasts 1,000 years from now, maybe, but we know the written word is Lindy, so.
Well, I think you can almost lump this up to the classic orator, you know, like from ancient Greek times, the person that just went over and just kind of spoke his ideas in this, but that was more of an open forum where people could kind of challenge it. Now, when you have a podcast, you could just be like, you know, just like what Bill Burr says, isn't it great when I can just say things without like, you know, researching it and just kind of and just moving on as if it was fact. Is like that's the only problem, that there is no real challenge unless there's like a counter podcast. And we, you know, maybe we'll see podcast beef one day. But anyway, I wanted to
jump to the next one. Now you're making me go through one of my, I have a
recycling through
these quotes that I keep, but something I happen to believe with podcasts doesn't mean I think they're going to be around for 1,000 years from now, but I saw a tweet that somebody tweeted at Dan Carlin, mm-hmm. and they said, newspapers were a fad. The village storyteller is as old as language, only there are 6 billion villagers, and podcasts are the campfire.
Yeah, we've heard that one before. I love that one. Moving on.
Where were you going before I
know? No, it's okay. I wanted to, you know, the most thought-provoking subject for me for coming out of Sun Tzu was pretty much how he developed that art of observation and deducing like bits of knowledge, right? So as if you saw soldiers leaning on their spears, they were tired. If you saw birds and no one's over there, like things like the observational world tells you a lot of information. And I think that's something that we're forgetting nowadays as you see people just kind of walking into space more or less.
Or staring at their phone. More,
yeah, basically, I didn't want to say it because, you know, that's just the low-hanging fruit. But it's so fucking true. People aren't paying attention. They're just, you know, especially in big cities. You go to New York, it's like, it's annoying. Like, just seeing people, like, you bump into people that are just on your phone. Or even worse, the people that, well, I wouldn't say it's worse because they have a better excuse. Or, like, people that are just looking up at the buildings in awe, they just walk right into you. I don't think that we're aware. Like, how...
Well, he extended that to so many other things, though, because what about, I missed this, well, I guess I didn't miss it because I never read the book, but I never heard this before, where he talks about the art of studying moods.
Yeah, that's what, I'm tying that in.
Yeah, it's like, a soldier's spirit is keenest in the morning, by noon it has begun to flag, in the evening his mind is bent only on returning to camp, so therefore a clever general, therefore, avoids an army when its spirit is keen, and attacks when it is sluggish and inclined to return. He's actually describing me. I feel I do the best things in the morning.
Yeah, but if you attack somebody in the evening, wouldn't you be attacking with a sluggish soldier as well? Like it's.
I don't know. Maybe you told him to take a nap.
I guess. Like I was thinking of that too. I was just like, well, if you're out at like if you're gonna attack overnight, your guy's gonna be like, well, I'm kind of like beat now too. I'm shot. Like I'm not ready to go to war now, man. I've been up all day. But I'm sure with the proper preparation that they did do it properly rather than a normal day ahead of, I'm sure there was plenty of preparation before they did whatever they did for war. And I got to think the more I think about it, it was probably like an Athenian Spartan battle where it was just like kind of chaos with just a couple colors separating the two armies. I really don't know how Sun Tzu fought his wars, and it's kind of bothering me. I guess I need to I need to look it up.
Where is the Ken Burns of this era?
I don't think he gave a shit about like this era.
I'm saying we needed like the Ken Burns of the 2500 BC,
the 25 part series, our 2000 BC. China.
Yeah. Then we'd know exactly how
it would
fought.
Be sick. They should probably put that out, man.
And I think like this just comes from understanding why you're doing what you're doing. I don't think you can have like a well-lived life if you don't find like work that has some kind of purpose, because work is going to take up a large part of your life. Even if you only work 40 hours a week, you're up 16 hours a day. 8 of those are spent working. Like, that's substantial, right? So it's like half of your conscious life. And I loved what he was talking about. He's like, the general who advances without coveting fame and retreats without fearing disgrace, whose only thought is to protect his country and do good service for his sovereign, is the jewel of the kingdom. And I said, like, I feel this applies to building products too. Like, the person who's not doing it to get famous, not doing it for rewards, not doing it for
but
money,
solving a problem,
just doing it for the best, just doing it for the best of the customer, is the jewel of the kingdom. So I really like that
beautiful
idea. And then I just think at the very end of the podcast, or the very end of the book part of the podcast, at least, it's just information that is really important. And it's like Jocko saying, he's like, listen, there's so much to be learned by the ancients, and it's just so accessible. There's so many lessons to be learned there. Mistakes that you don't have to make yourself, and all you have to do is open a book. Yeah. And I think that's why I recommend people stop paying attention to current events. Stop thinking the world, it's like Chicken Little, the world is falling. You have to understand, people have had those same thoughts about, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever, the worst time ever, the world's coming to an end. Can you imagine? Forever. You are not unique. This time is not unique. So all you're doing is stressing yourself out. You're increasing your cortisol levels. Like, just stop, man. Slow it down and just actually learn about human nature. Because if you learn about human nature, that's applicable to everything you do. And you can get yourself in a position, a better position, the more you learn. So that's really what I took away from not only this book, but any book that Jocko's really taught us about.
Yeah.
It helps put things into perspective when you realize that the suffering of human beings, the thoughts, all the stuff that we experience is not unique to us.
We don't give them enough credit this modern day, because I guess we have all these like tools in the internet, and then we just kind of like dismiss them.
Just like Jocko said, learning from the ancients is so accessible. I do a podcast based on the history of entrepreneurship. I'm learning from people that have came way before us with ideas that are accessible to everybody. How to work, how to be productive, how to spend your time, how to develop like what's important to you internally. So if you're interested in listening to that Founders podcast, available anywhere that you listen to podcasts, I'll also leave links down below for the major like podcast players. You can click that. That is my one plug. And I got to get out of here, Rob, because I'm supposed to meet Chris in 12 minutes, and I will not make that.